Welcome to the 7 on Your Side Consumer Podcast, brought to you by ABC 7's Michael Finney.
Hello, everyone. I am Michael Finney, and this is the Weekly Consumer Podcast. Thank you for joining me today. I've been gone for a couple of weeks. It's great to be back. We have a lot to talk about. Let's begin with housing. Did you see all the articles this week? They said that housing prices were dropping phenomenally. Unless you lived over there, then they were even, and over there, they were up. And so you've got to say to yourself, what does this mean? Look, if you are in the market to buy a home, or if you're too scared to be in the market, but you think it's about time, I want you to start doing your research. And simply, look, don't complicate this. Start going to open houses. Hang on to the little pieces of paper they give you in the area where you're thinking about buying. And then check the newspaper or go online and find out what the house sold for so that you can see what is the discrepancy between asking price and sale price. And start looking around. This is a good time to be looking. Home prices are not shooting up in most neighborhoods, and so you have time to look around and find the exact home you want. Prices can go down. There are no guarantees, but prices tend to go up. And here in the Bay Area, what we've seen over time is if you buy a house today, in 10 years from now, over any period I'm aware of since I've been alive, and remember, I grew up here, over a 10-year period, you are going to look like a financial genius for buying a house, making the payments, and sticking it out. So, should you go buy the first house you see? No, there's a lot of homes on the market. It is a buyer's market. Take your time, but it is the time to look around. And by the way, keep close track of interest rates. Most in the Bay Area get jumbo loans. Jumbo loans are now going for 7.25. Not cheap money from what we're used to, but cheap money overall. 7.25 is a lot cheaper than what you're paying on your credit card. So keep track of those numbers. Start keeping track of the neighborhoods you want to live in. And in about a year or so, maybe sooner if you find the right house, it'll be time to buy. Let's talk about gasoline prices. As long as we're talking about sky-high home prices, let's talk about the sky-high gasoline prices. What are you going to do? You pull up to the pump, and you pay what the price is. And you look around, you look for the cheaper stations near your work, near your home, near your kids' schools. But beyond that, what can you do? Well, the Edmunds.com, they're the car people. A while back, we got together with them, and we drove all over town, and we were looking for ways to save gasoline. And as it turned out, that most of the truisms aren't true. And that's because, as a guy named Philip Reed told me, and he's an editor at Edmunds, that the technology of cars is so improved that it's outdated most of the tips we hear. So let's talk about it. Keeping your tires inflated to the correct level. Yes, that helps because it saves your tires, but in terms of gas mileage, about 1%. Not running your air conditioner. Again, maybe 1% if you're lucky. If you're lucky. Roll down the windows. We did not see any difference at all. So what helps? Using cruise control on the highway. If you use cruise control, the average driver will save about 10% in fuel costs. Why? It's because we keep getting into these little road races the whole time we're driving down the highway. When a guy is coming up behind us and he's kind of pushing us forward, getting on our bumper, we speed up to keep distance between us. Or if we see a car up ahead, maybe we speed up to catch up to that car. Or if we're in the right lane and a car is in the left lane and it goes past us, we speed up. It is a natural human tendency. And if you use cruise control, your foot isn't on the gas pedal, and you don't get into all these little tiny road races. What else helps? Keeping your foot from pushing down very hard on the gas or the brake. And why is that? Well, when you're pushing down on the gas very hard, taking a jackrabbit start, for instance, well, then you're using a lot of gas in order to go fast quickly. And when you slam on the brakes, you're wasting all the gas you just used. All that energy that's propelling you forward, you've now stopped. So how much money can you save by driving mellower? And this is not driving like a little old lady. This is going from aggressive to moderate, or if you're moderate, to mellow. 30%. 30%. That's a huge savings. So imagine that. If you're talking a $4 gallon of gas, you're saving more than a buck a gallon by mellowing out behind the wheel. That's something to think about. There's a new book out that takes a look at the precarious financial balance, as the PR release points out, of the American families. It's called High Wire, The Precarious Financial Lives of American Families. And the big point it makes, which I think is something worth thinking about, is that at work, we're expected to be more and more specialized. You know, there's very few people that are just a carpenter. No, you're a finished carpenter. Or you do this kind of work. Or if you're a journalist, you know, I'm a consumer reporter on television. You know, it gets very, very specific. That's what our work lives have become. And yet, when we go home, we're supposed to be a financial advisor, because we have to decide what our retirements are going to be. We're supposed to be a banker. We're supposed to figure out which interest rates are correct for us in terms of what we should be receiving when we save money, what we should be paying when we're using a credit card. And we're also supposed to be attorneys, because we are constantly signing paperwork and there's a ton of fine print. Look, it's all but impossible. We tend to be frozen because of these demands on our personal life are now just as great as it demands on our professional life. This is brand new. So what do you do about it? Not much. You got to put it in perspective and do what you can do and understand the rules have changed. That from now on, you're in charge of all your money. You're in charge of your legal needs. The government isn't going to be there. By and large, your employer is not going to be there. So you're going to need to set time aside. Being a human being in the United States in the year 2008 means you're running a mini corporation and you're up against multinationals. So you and your significant other, if you're lucky enough to have one, need to sit down and think about what it is you're doing and maybe divide up the duties. Maybe you have one person who thinks about investments, the other person who thinks about just mortgages. It's important to do. You can't get away from it. This book, by the way, I cannot recommend it enough. High Wire. You'll know what the situation is you are currently in and why. The bottom line for American families is you need to be real about it and just understand you have all these demands and you need to set time aside to deal with them. Okay, the Nigerian letter, you've seen this thing. The general in Nigeria who's ripped off all this money, and if you'll help him get it out of the country, $30 million, they'll give you $3 million or $10 million or whatever the latest deal is. Someone died in an accident. There's nobody to get the money. The guy has no heirs, so this guy is going to steal it, and if you'll help him, blah, 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 blah. All they do is raid your account, steal your identity. Well, here's a brand new one out. Queen Elizabeth wants to give you money, as it turns out. One of my colleagues here in the newsroom, Mark Matthews, received this. He sent it to me and said, king me, in his email. And what it is it's the Queen Elizabeth Foundation. And it's out of the United Kingdom. I don't know where it's from, but I know that Queen Elizabeth is not trying to figure out how to give you £3.5 million. So if you receive one of these, throw it away. We will go ahead and turn ours over to the government. And by the way, if you're dealing with those who are a little bit older or not as sophisticated, you might want to tell them about this, because this one could look legitimate to them. Kelly Moore Paint Company is going to be paying more than $500,000 in a price scanner case. Now, they've admitted absolutely no wrongdoing or liability, and it was a civil action. The complaint alleged that Kelly Moore, a manufacturer and retail seller of paint and paint supplies that is headquartered in San Carlos, violated the law by charging retail customers more than the lowest price advertised or posted for products. The reason I'm bringing this up is there's a law that says whatever the lowest advertised price is of a product is the price you have to be given. Now, not in the past, or not what they plan to offer in the future, but if right now they say the price of a product is $3.49, I'm not talking about coupons, just the basic price, well, then they've got to give it to you for $3.49. They can't charge you more. One. Two, the other thing I want you to be aware of is scanners are everywhere, and in the past, the government really took great care and really inspected these. I don't see that happening to that extent anymore. Now, some counties are very good. This is done on a county-by-county basis in California. And some counties are very good in keeping track of scanners and making sure they're all working properly and no one is trying to get one over on anyone else. But that's not happening anywhere, or I should say everywhere, which means you could walk into a store and that store has all the best intentions, but the scanners are wrong. Or maybe they don't have good intentions. But I want you to think about it. And when you go to a store, be aware of what it is. The prices have been posted, and make sure you're getting that when your products are scanned at the checkout counter. We've become complacent because government did such a good job on this for so long. But now the government has, in many cases, checked out. Well, that's it for this week's podcast. I want to invite you to watch my news reports on ABC 7 News. I'm on every day on either the 5 or 6 o'clock or both. And you can also see my reports on The View from the Bay. That's our entertainment show here at Channel 7. It's on at 3 o'clock every day. Fabulous program. I'm on it every Monday and Friday with some consumer information or advice. Thanks a lot for downloading. Goodbye, everybody.
For more on Michael Finney's reports or to report a consumer problem, go to abc7news.com and select 7 on your side from the quick links menu. Thank you for downloading Michael's podcast.